Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Thursday, October 10th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour and 5 hour and 10 minutes or so. We'll go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me as one guest joins me on the program today, but he is a very good one. That is professional handicapper Brad Powers from bradpowerssports.com. We're going to talk as many college football games as we can get to, plus a little bit of NFL here for week six. Then to finish up today's show, I'll go through some of the college football games that we didn't get to on our previous segments here over the course of the week. Over at bangthebook.com, we are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. Lots of great stuff being put together by our very solid cast of writers. Danny Vorgs' model predictions and power ratings for this week posted this morning over at the website. Also this morning, I put together a Nationals versus Cardinals NLCS preview. That series already starts tomorrow, so you want to make sure that you check that out. I got a pretty strong opinion on that series, so head on over there and read that preview. Parker Michaels' daily NHL picks, my college football power ratings, college football situational betting tips, same thing for the NHL. And as we go on into the weekend here, we'll have FCS picks from Jonathan Willis, system picks from Alan Moody, and for the NFL and college football, best bets from Admir Aljic. Lots of good stuff coming your way here heading on to the end of the weekend. To go along with UFC thoughts, NASCAR thoughts, busy time of the year here, as we know. And, of course, I'm just tripping over my words with how busy we are here at this time of the year. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook. BTB, the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the Sportsbook. 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. One guest on the program here today, but like I said, one of our favorites here, that is Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowerssports.com. Brad, how's it going today, man?
It's going well. How are you doing on this fine Thursday?
Doing very well, buddy. Appreciate your time as always here, sir. And before we start digging into some of the specific games here for week seven of the college football season, we're about halfway through the regular season, man. This year seems like it's flying by. Any adjustments you made from week six to week seven that you want to point our listeners towards?
You know, nothing major. I mean, now we're getting to the point where, I mean, at least the drastic changes in power ratings are becoming, you know, fewer and far further between. You know, nothing major. I mean, major surprise, Miami going down, I mean, probably was one of the biggest surprises, because really considering Virginia Tech, I thought had, you know, there was at least a chance out there that they were just, you know, almost like a Louisville type situation that we saw last year. I mean, the first four games, Virginia Tech had failed to cover the spread by 20 points per game, and a little bit stunned by that performance last week. Although, I mean, it just goes to show you how impactful turnovers are. Miami has five turnovers in the first half, and then pretty much dominated that game in the second half.
Yeah, and there were a few games like that with some significant turnover margin discrepancies. I know West Virginia and Texas was one. I know a lot of people kind of liked West Virginia with Texas in that look-ahead spot. Mountaineers should have covered, but they were down by four late, early in the fourth quarter. Pick, touchdown. All of a sudden, it's an 18-point game. Texas winds up winning by 11. Also, I believe Texas Tech and Oklahoma State was a game that had some turnover things in it. Yep. As well. You know, again, those turnover margin games, very important. And again, it speaks to what you and I talk about all the time. You've got to add context to what happens in these games, whether you regrade them a couple weeks down the line or just by studying the box scores, because you may look at Texas Tech's game and say, wow, they're really, really good. They beat this good Oklahoma State team. Maybe Texas Tech is okay. Maybe Oklahoma State's not as good as we thought. But again, turnovers playing a big role. It's important to check into that stuff.
Oh, no question about it. And, you know, I go through each and every box score each and every week, and I totally brain farted and forgot to post my notes this week. But if you follow me on Twitter, I post my weekly notes. I go through each and every box score for every game and just, you know, put my general thoughts on all those games. And I'll post that here right after we're done doing this segment today.
All right, so let's get into some of these specific games here. And the first game I have on the list is Saturday. It is a rivalry game. But I guess before we get to that, anything on Thursday or Friday that stands out to you here before we move to Saturday?
You know, I kind of like Texas State tonight. I think they're playing well. They're off back-to-back wins. I think Georgia State's pretty good. I mean, considering that they beat Tennessee and then had a nice performance against Arkansas State, keep in mind Texas State beat Georgia State. And then Nicholls State is a team that's, you know, at least came into the season top 25 in the FCS, and Texas State took care of them. They seem to be finding their way here as the year moves along in their first year under Jake Spavital, their head coach. And, you know, looking at it here, home dog with a better defense, catching a field goal. I'm on the Bobcats on Thursday.
Interesting. I grabbed Monroe -2 earlier in the week. My line's, I think, in the 5 range. So a little bit of a difference of opinion for us there, but I don't think we should make too many dinner bets on Sunbelt games. I don't know how you feel about that, but it seems like it's a little bit of a higher variance conference here this season.
It is, but I'm willing to roll with the punches. You want a dinner bet on it? I'll take it.
I don't know. I mean, I took 2. 2's a lot different than 3. Okay. I don't know if I want to take enough. That one here. I'm all sure right. We'll have some here as we go throughout the course of today's show, though. Let's go to game 117-118 here on Saturday. And I apologize in advance for having to talk about your alma mater here as a huge underdog, but Toledo and Bowling Green, Toledo 25.5-point favorite here. Really, the reason I want to talk about this game is you get some of these rivalry games in the Group of 5 conferences where one team is just better than the other team. The line is very big. But if Bowling Green is going to get up for any game this year, it's this one. Same situation with Kent State and Akron. If Akron's going to get up for any game, it's this one this weekend. But both of those MAC schools facing huge home underdog roles, Bowling Green's, of course, quite a bit bigger.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of how big it is, it's the largest home underdog role in the history of the school for Bowling Green, sitting here at, you know, 25.5. I think the previous high, you got to go back to 98 when Dante Culpepper was quarterbacking for UCF. That's the last time BG was, you know, catching 3 touchdowns at home. And obviously this one's closer to 4 touchdowns. I'm on Bowling Green here. I like Bowling Green because of what you mentioned. And keep in mind, you know, Toledo's off 3 straight close wins, Colorado State, BYU, Western Michigan. I know it's a rivalry game, but they have crushed Bowling Green the last 9 years, won 9 straight. I think, you know, there's bigger and better things that they can look forward to. Bowling Green, I think they found their quarterback last week. Grant Loy actually looked decent against the Fighting Irish. And, you know, I think they have a legit all-MAC caliber wide receiver in Quentin Morris, who had 10 catches last week. I'm on the Falcons here. I think there's a little bit too much anti-Bowling Green sentiment in the marketplace.
I think so, too. In fact, my number on this game is more like 19-ish. I don't know where yours is, but
22.
I haven't been impressed with Toledo. And I will say this, most of the year I've been trying to shuffle the MAC around. Obviously, I had no feel for this conference coming into the season, but this line kind of implies that Toledo is the Toledo of old, and they're just not really that team.
Yeah, I mean, to put in perspective, I mean, flip home field, I mean, Toledo 31.5, I mean, is what this would be. I mean, Bowling Green just played Notre Dame last week, and that line was 45.5. Notre Dame's laying only 14 to Toledo. I'm betting Notre Dame at 14 against Toledo. I'm sorry, I just am. I think Notre Dame's pretty good this year. So, yeah, that's why I'm scratching my head a little bit. And, again, if you watched the game last week, Bowling Green shuffled around bits and pieces of their offense trying to, you know, define what was working. And I know they came up with a goose egg on the scoreboard where it matters most, but they moved the football, you know, getting first downs against a really good Notre Dame defense with Grant Loy at quarterback. So I think we certainly don't have a live dog here, but I think you got a nice ticket if you're betting the Falcons this week. I have bet the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm going to do so as well. I mean, obviously, when you're up here in the mid-20s, line value not necessarily as important, but it does seem like there's a chance this line does continue to go up a little bit, too. A lot of the 25.5s with -115, which I don't want to go off on a rant here, but I guess it's my show and I can do whatever I want. Why don't you just go to 26 instead of 25.5 -115? Like, what are you worried about holding on to 25.5?
On a MAC game.
Yeah, what the hell? Irritating. All right, anyway, we jump down here to game 121-122, Louisville and Wake Forest. We talked about this one a little bit with Rolf Michaels earlier on in the week on Tuesday, so I want to get your thoughts on this one here as well. Wake Forest laying 6.5 at home.
Yeah, my number's closer to the 5.5 range here. Wake, obviously, unbeaten, coming off a bye. I mean, so they've been relatively impressive so far this season. But, you know, I'll say this, Scott Satterfield's doing a really good job so far at Louisville. They're sitting there at 3-2. And if you look at, you know, yards per play differential, I mean, Louisville's plus 1.2 in that key category. You know, how many yards do you average per play on offense, subtract it from the defense? they're better than Wake Forest in that category. But with that being said, you know, slight lean for me on Louisville here. It's nothing major as far as a power ratings discrepancy for me, but it's another game where I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams.
Yeah, I think so too. I got Wake Forest about 7 here in this game, so I'm about right there where the market is, sort of. And I was on Louisville last week, or I was against Louisville last week with Boston College. I just thought that it was a little bit too big of a favorite role for Louisville.
Yep.
Probably got lucky with that one because Anthony Brown went out, and then also Louisville had 664 yards. So maybe got a little bit fortunate there with that one. But I think this is a pretty tough handicap here this weekend, especially, you know, with Wake Forest in the top 25. I know some people like to play against that, a little bit of a fat and happy angle. So like you said, we'll find out a lot here about both of these teams. I think we find out a lot about both of these teams here in the next game as well. 123-124. Navy and Tulsa. And when you talk about handicaps this week in college football, this one may be the absolute toughest.
Yeah, I mean, what's the emotional state of both teams coming off of two very emotional games? I mean, Navy stormed the field after they beat their rival Air Force. I mean, I guess I'm going to trust the Service Academy to keep it, you know, even keel as far as emotion. I mean, that's what they're trained to do, not to get, you know, too emotional. But still, I mean, you're dealing with the college kids off a big-time win. And now traveling, I mean, the more concern is Tulsa. For as good as Tulsa looked against SMU last week, I mean, they did blow a 3-touchdown fourth quarter lead in a game where they missed 3 field goals and could have easily pulled that outright upset. What's their thought process? I mean, I got the number 2.5, so my power rankings want to lean with Tulsa here. It's just too tough of a handicap for me to get too involved at this point. Again, going to learn a lot about both teams moving forward.
I got this one, Tulsa minus 1.5. So we're kind of in the same range there. But the thing that compounds this game for Tulsa is it's not just some run-of-the-mill opponent after a really tough, you know, loss in double or triple overtime where you blow that big lead. You've got to focus on prepping for the option. And that's not great, given that it's probably tough on Monday to get over that loss, get back to practice, get back in the film room, all that. You could have knocked off a top 25 caliber opponent in SMU. You didn't do it. Now you've got the triple option to prep for. I would have to go Navy here, if anything. I don't think I'm going to play the game, but it also wouldn't shock me here if Tulsa just looks real lifeless, especially on defense here against the middies. So that's the thing, too. Again, you know, spots are, they're not just blind spots. I mean, if Tulsa's playing, you know, South Florida or somebody, I don't care as much, but they're playing the Navy option.
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, keep in mind, Tulsa had a bye prior to SMU. I got to think they snuck some option prep in during that bye week since it was, you know, only the next game after SMU. I mean, that's what I would do if I was a head coach. But you're right. I mean, if they're not there, the last team I want to play. If you're not emotionally ready for a game, the last team I want to play is the Service Academy because, I mean, you got to be so well disciplined on the defensive side of the ball. And if you're just not reading your keys right, or you're a little lackadaisical. I mean, not only are you giving up first downs left and right, but a lot of times it's touchdown.
All right, so we go to the Red River Shootout, Red River Rivalry, whatever dumbass name they have for it now, because rivalry and shootout were too offensive. Oklahoma,
yeah, I don't
and
get
Texas
that at all. What world are we living in here?
I don't know. But it's game 125-126 here, and it's been Oklahoma money so far, despite how everybody knows about Tom Herman as a dog. Up from 9.5 to as high as 11 out there in the market right now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Texas. I know they're banged up in the secondary, but they've been, you know, banged up in several positions so far this season. I just, you know, they're going to get up for this game, and they have in the past. And they've been up against it a lot of times against Oklahoma, and they've still been able to come through. Forget Tom Herman in the underdog role. Let's just talk Texas versus Oklahoma. Last 7 meetings, Texas 6-1 against the spread. Average cover by 11.5 points per game. So just matchup wise, player personnel wise, Texas has been a solid matchup against Oklahoma. And I get it. Oklahoma's looked dominant. They're number 1 in the country in yards per play differential. But who has Oklahoma played? I mean, they haven't played a single team in the top 50 of my power ratings. With that being said, my power ratings say this line's pretty fair. I got it like 11.5. I just think Texas has matched up so well with Oklahoma in the past. What's so different about this year's matchup? I'm on the Longhorns here.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to play this game, I would have to go the Texas route, too, for the reasons you mentioned. Oklahoma, according to Sagarin, 61st in the country in strength of schedule. Texas, 16th. They've played two top 30 teams in Sagarin. Oklahoma, as you mentioned, not even playing a top 50 team from a power rating standpoint. So, you know, again, it's a step up in class for Oklahoma, and they have the personnel to overcome spots like that. But, you know, it's amazing to think that we're in week 7 here. And Oklahoma's playing its first legitimate opponent. And there are some games like that this week where you kind of wonder about some of these teams and how they'll fare, really facing somebody on their level or maybe even in some cases better than them.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can take advantage of it, at least in this case. I mean, I hope I can. But, yeah, that's what makes, you know, college football's a fun handicap, but it's very high variance. I mean, you can have some very easy winners, some easy losers. But it, since it's not parity-driven like the NFL where – every little half point matters. This is the type of stuff that you would hope that you could take advantage of it, since there's such disparities in the strength of schedules.
All right, so we moved out one spot on the board here. Game 127-128, Memphis and Temple, a game we haven't talked about yet this week. But I am curious to get your take on this one, with this line going up from the -3, -3.5 range to 5.5.
Yeah, I have it 3, so I'm on Temple here. I agreed with the original move here. And I ended up taking Temple +6. It came down a little bit here. I mean, let's look at the total line. It's 50. To me, that says lower scoring. To me, that's right in Temple's wheelhouse as far as how the game's going to play out. I get it. Memphis's defense is much improved this year, but Temple still has the better D and getting, you know, the 5.5 points at home. Temple, you know, I played against Temple last week and felt very fortunate to come away with a win against the spread against East Carolina. Memphis has been strong from obviously a yards per play advantage, but you know, even last week's game, that's a 6-point game with 6 minutes left, and they ended up winning. The final looks good because they win by 19 and they cover. I'm on the Owls here. I don't think they're going to be overly intimidated.
Yeah, I was on the Warhawks last week, so that was one that I wasn't too thrilled about how that game finished up. You had a 68-yard touchdown run for Memphis, and the next play was a pick six. And yep, that kind of put some margin there in that game. You know, my line here is Temple +2. So I'm even a little bit lower than you are, which surprises me because year in and year out, I feel like I'm always higher than the market on Memphis. And then come to find out here this week, I'm not. And maybe that says something to me. Again, maybe my power ratings aren't the most efficient ones out there in the market, but every year I'm high on Memphis. And here I've got line value against them when they're a 5-0 team and they've really done nothing to get lowered in my power ratings. So, again, you kind of look for some context clues in your own research, in your own preparation, that may, you know, point you in a certain direction.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I'm in exactly the same boat with Memphis. My power rankings have said back Memphis at least almost in every single game this year. This is the first time that they've called to play against the Tigers. And to me, I think that's saying something because, I mean, their power rating couldn't have changed that much. And it's not like I've been, you know, overly anti-Temple in the marketplace. I've had slight leans against the Owls, but nothing where I had 3, 4, 5 points of discrepancies in my power rings the last few weeks.
All right, so we take a pretty big jump down the board here to game 139-140 in the Mountain West, Hawaii and Boise State. This is a real interesting game here. And the line coming down, Boise State was 13.5, now 11.5 or 12.5 out there in the market, depending on where you look.
Yeah, I got it at 14. I'm not going to bet it, though. Tough handicap for me. You got Hawaii coming off a bye. I mean, obviously, very impressive performance in their last game. You know, taking care of Nevada 54-3 in the cold. I had Nevada. I don't hide anything here. I roll with the punches. But, you know, Boise State obviously has an opportunity with UCF going down and has a couple of losses to start to take control as far as getting that one bid out of the group of five for a major bowl bid. Boise State's not good as a home favorite. Last 25 times they've been a home favorite, they've only covered 7 out of 25. Tough spot, though, for Hawaii. I mean, they can't be overly intimidated already playing, you know, three Pac-12 teams already. So, if anything, even though my power rank is, say, 14 here, I mean, if you gave me a $20 bill out of your pocket, Adam, I'd probably bet Hawaii.
Yeah, this one is a challenge. I mean, I've got this one 13, so, you know, I'm kind of right there in the same area as you. The thing with Hawaii is this. If they turn the football over, they could get blown out. If they don't turn the football over, they can very easily cover. And I know that's
– they can win the game if they don't turn it over.
I know that that's groundbreaking analysis here. Yeah. You know, turnovers matter in every game, but that's the thing for Hawaii. They had significant turnover problems. They don't turn the football over against Nevada, and they took them to the woodshed in both halves of that game.
Yep.
So that's the big thing. And if they turn the football over, Boise State's good enough to score. So I think when you've got a game where it comes down to really one factor, I think here, the turnover battle, I think it's just too hard to bet a game like that.
Yeah, Hawaii's very high variance. I mean, their quarterback, Cole McDonald's, very high variance. I mean, last year looked like a world beater. At the start of this year, I mean, had significant turnover issues, even in games that they won. I mean, keep in mind, this is a team, and now Arizona looks pretty good. How good does that win look for Hawaii now against Arizona? Because in that game, Hawaii had 6 turnovers and still dominated and easily won and covered and won the game outright against an Arizona team that hasn't lost since. So that just shows you, I mean, how good Hawaii can be. Even when they have turnovers, if they don't, again, I, if you can give me just one stat, like you mentioned before the game, if I see a big goose egg as far as turnovers for Hawaii, right now I would bet Hawaii on the money line.
Yeah, no, I completely understand that. I completely agree with you. And here's the thing, too, and I've kind of been looking at this because I do really like West Virginia this week against Iowa State. Not a game that we're going to talk about, but West Virginia is a team with turnover problems. Iowa State, though, only has 5 takeaways on the year. This is a similar spot where Boise State only has 6 takeaways on the year, and Hawaii's been giving it away to everybody except for Nevada, of course, because we were both on the Wolfpack. So what about that part of it? You know, Boise State has a chance at turnovers here. At least that's what Hawaii's profile would suggest, but they're not forcing a lot of them. So how do you interpret that in the handicap?
It's a very good point. I would say that's more advantageous for Hawaii in that instance that a team hasn't been known to prone to do so. So, yeah, I would say, you know, that's another advantage for Hawaii. I mean, that's another great, great part of the handicap.
All right. So we go here to game 147-148, Washington State, Arizona State. This line's bounced all over the place here. Hasn't crossed any key numbers or anything like that, but Washington State was pick 'em and even favored for a short time at some places. Now we're back to Arizona State -1.5. This is another one of those tough handicaps this week, I think.
Yeah, too tough for me to get involved. I mean, early in the week when Washington State flipped a favorite, I didn't necessarily understand that. So, I mean, I was certainly leaning with the home team at that line. But a lot of moving factors here. Now, both teams do come off a bye. But obviously, Leach's comments about his team, you know, being very soft, fat, dumb, happy, and entitled. I mean, that got a lot of play. I mean, their defense coordinator just up and quit during the bye week. Tracy Clay's for them. That's a big question mark now. Arizona State has a propensity, and I've talked about this before, to play a lot of close games. So this line says it's right in their wheelhouse. It's a close game. Arizona State, that's all they've been playing under Herm Edwards the last couple of years. I don't. My line says Arizona State 2, so the line 1.5 now. I just don't have a bet, Adam.
Yeah, I don't have one either. But you know what? The one thing I will say, and this is probably just largely narrative based, and these can get very scary. This feels like the type of games that Herm Edwards is going to win there. He's already done that. This sort of feels like the same kind of thing. Although, I guess on the counter side of that, you could say you talk about Arizona State with the games against Michigan State, for example. Michigan State's offense is terrible, so Arizona State wins the close game. Washington State's offense is very good. Can Arizona State win the close game against a good offense? That's kind of an interesting angle to this game, and I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the matchup to me is, I mean, Washington State's offense, that hasn't been the issue for them. I mean, they have the number 7 scoring offense in the country. Arizona State's been good on defense, number 11 scoring defense in the country. I mean, that's the matchup there. But then you can say on the other side, Washington State struggled so much on the defense side of the ball. I mean, can Arizona State that has had issues scoring, can they get the job? It's just contrasting. Both teams' strengths are going head-to-head. Both teams' weaknesses are going head-to-head. It's going to be another one of those handicaps where I'm going to learn a hell of a lot about both teams moving forward.
And the nice thing, of course, is that we got a lot of college football games, so we don't have to play games like this. Whereas in the NFL, if you're in contests or pick'em pools or something like that, you got to figure out something on every game. A lot of people don't have to do that here in college. I'm curious if you've figured out anything about this game. 149-150 as we stay in the Pac-12. Utah laying 14 on the road at Oregon State. This is a sneaky good handicap, I think, because an Oregon State team that's exceeded expectations this year and a Utah team that some people will say has fallen short.
Yeah, I mean, you can even find a couple of 14 and a half now. I'm against that. I'll take Oregon State plus 14 and a half. I think Oregon State's better than what we think. I mean, you go through their schedule. Okay, a 3-point loss at Hawaii. I mean, that's not so bad. They kind of, if Jonathan Smith, he's their head coach, decides to kick some extra points instead of going for two, they get a cover against Oklahoma State in that game, nearly beat Stanford, outright. Stanford looked pretty good last week. And then Oregon State did look the part last week, going to the Rose Bowl and taking care of UCLA, at least early, 21-0 right out of the gates. I get Utah's off of a bye. They get Zach Moss back, their running back. But, again, I'm going to fade the line move here through a key number of 14. If you can find 14 and a half, I'm talking myself into betting the Beavers here.
I got this one 12 and a half. So maybe this is one I do get involved on at 14 and a half. But I will say this. The one thing that scares me for Oregon State here, and I guess they played right with Stanford, so maybe I shouldn't be concerned, but the physicality of Utah is something you don't often see in the Pac-12. Again, they outgained Stanford badly in that game. Probably should have won that game outright, as you mentioned. That's what worries me here for Oregon State. But, again, they could spread Utah out a little bit, too, on offense. So, interesting game. And, again, this is one where if Oregon State plays well, covers the number, maybe loses by 3 or 7, wins outright, they're worthy of another bump up in your power ratings.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. And they've been a team that's been moving up here as of late. Just looking compared to, I got them up like 3 points on the season, so it's not like they've been significantly upgraded, but it's certainly a team. I bet them last week. They kind of came onto my radar later in the week, and I bet them. And yeah, again, 14 and a half. I'd like to bet them this week. Although I will say, Stanford's not the same physical type of team that what they were. So this will be the most physical team they played so far this season in Utah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a real good point there. And let's go to the SEC East here. Game 155-156, South Carolina and Georgia. Georgia laying 24 here at home for an early kickoff in Athens.
Yeah, I'm on South Carolina. I mean, they're coming in off a bye. I think they had to feel good about themselves going into the bye. That was their best game of the season when they controlled Kentucky 24-7. I mean, they dominated that game, outgained them by more than 150 yards, controlled the line of scrimmage. And getting Helinski and his elbow healthy with the bye week, I think, is a positive. Georgia very fortunate to cover at Tennessee last week. I mean, if you watch late in the game, two huge plays as far as the spread goes. I mean, the fumble return touchdown. And then, you know, Tennessee's got a first and goal at the 5 and can't punch it in. So, Will Muschamp's good as a dog. He's 11-4 against the number. My number on this one, it's close. It's right around 24, so nothing significant here. But, again, I would lean with South Carolina.
I like South Carolina a little bit here, too. And, of course, full disclosure, I follow South Carolina. My wife was born there, so on and so forth. But for Georgia here, 87th. In strength of schedule, according to Sagarin, the only real game they've played here is Notre Dame. And not that South Carolina is a great team by any means, but, you know, they're a top 40, top 35 type of team. I think they're a pretty good team. They've played a top 10 schedule in the country here so far, with largely because they played Alabama. But still, I mean, I think South Carolina should be able to keep this game pretty close. Again, you mentioned coming off of a bye, and you know, their defense has been a little bit better here this year, too. So I like South Carolina a little bit in this spot. I think this could be a game that winds up on my nugget card. Game 163-164 here, Arkansas and Kentucky. Kentucky's 6.5, 7-point favorite, depending on where you look. Arkansas, and there are so many teams like this year, lose to San Jose State, then play pretty well against Texas A&M. Didn't come away with the win in that game, but certainly looked a lot better than they had the previous week.
Yeah, my number is 9. Although I really don't trust either team. I don't trust either quarterback situation. Sawyer Smith, quarterback for Kentucky, if you remember. I mean, he was the backup after Wilson went down to injury. He's looked awful and really played his worst game of the season in his last game against South Carolina a couple weeks ago. Both teams coming in off a bye. Nick Starkle was banged up a little bit in the A&M game. Actually, Ben Hicks came on and did okay for them as they nearly pulled the outright upset. Just too many moving variables and parts here. Don't trust either team, even though my numbers say Kentucky's to play.
I agree. My numbers also say Kentucky's to play. I even have it a little bit higher than you do, but it's hard to take Kentucky here. Again, I mean, you know, this time of the year, too, where you start to get injury attrition, you want to really look at the roster situations for these teams, because Kentucky lost some substantial parts from last year's team. And as guys get injured, you're going to start tapping into more underclassmen, more of that depth, stuff like that. Again, at least they're off of a bye here. But, you know, sometimes early in the year, those losses maybe don't show up as much because you've got guys that were pretty good sitting behind guys that were really good. Now at this time of the year, those pretty good guys may be hurt and you may be getting a lot more inexperience on the field.
That's an excellent point on your behalf. That's about as sharp as it gets, folks. I mean, that's why he's the host and he's also a solid handicapper.
Yeah, I try to be anyway. I masquerade as a solid handicapper. I'm a pretty good host, but as far as the handicapping side goes, it's kind of hit or miss at times. But we go to the Big 12 here, game 165-166, Texas Tech and Baylor. Baylor, pretty much the consensus number here, an 11-point favorite at home.
I got 11.5, so hopefully we can get some stuff here where I have a bet. Maybe I'll give a bonus best bet at the end. But it's a fair number, and again, my power rings it's getting tighter and tighter as the season moves along here. Looking at it, I mean, kudos for Texas Tech last week, but they were plus 5 turnovers in that upset win over Oklahoma State. I mean, Duffy looked okay for him, but I mean, Baylor's been pretty impressive. I mean, especially last week going into Kansas State and taking care of business there. I mean, defensively, they really looked apart. They had 15 tackles for loss. Charlie Brewer, their quarterback, was a little bit banged up, but he's expected to go here. Just a slight lean for me on Baylor, but again, my number is 11.5. That's only half point off from the market.
My number's a little bit lower here in this game, but I still don't have much interest in Texas Tech. I think it's a tough spot going to Waco. Baylor, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, they've done nothing wrong here so far this season. They let Iowa State back into that game in the fourth quarter a few weeks ago, but
Iowa State's pretty good though.
Iowa State is pretty good, but they were pitching a shutout through three quarters.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that was one where the box score doesn't tell you everything about that game. What a job by Matt Rhule. You know, everything else aside, one of the best coaching jobs we've seen over the last few years, not just to take that program and turn it into something different, a more physical brand of football, but also to clean up that program after all the Art Briles fallout. Incredible job. I don't know how long he's at Baylor, but wherever he goes, he's going to have success in his coaching career.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, did a tremendous job at Temple. I know he's been, you know, the pros have been sniffing around a little bit as far as he's concerned. I can tell you this, I'd take him in South Bend, Indiana. I really think he's that good.
Ooh, I like that. I replacement to Brian Kelly, I like that. And Brian Kelly's a guy that, I know you have some thoughts on, and we'll talk a little bit more about Notre Dame here a little bit later on in the segment. But game 177-178 in the Big Ten, Michigan State on the road at Wisconsin. Wisconsin laying 10.5 here after a little bit of a letdown performance against Northwestern.
Yeah, you know, my number's 12.5. The Northwestern game was a couple weeks ago where, you know, the little bit of letdown last week, they put a thumping on Kent State, 48-0. Looking at it here, here's my worry. Number one, I'm not sure I really want to lay double digits here in a game where a total is really low, and here's why. I queried this up. You know, teams that lay more than 7 points with a low total. What do I mean by low total? 43 or less. So you're more than a touchdown favorite in a low total. You go back the last 17 years, you only cover 43% of the time. We're talking a sample size of 400-plus games. That's legit. So that's why I can't bet Wisconsin, even though my power ratings are saying that, you know, bet them here. But I also worry about Michigan State. I mean, physical game last week against Ohio State. Now you're on the road against another physical team in Wisconsin. And keep in mind, the Badgers have been sitting at home here 6 straight weeks. They haven't had a road game since South Florida in the opener. So I think they're relatively fresh here. Just a lean for me on Wisconsin. But again, I don't like laying big numbers with low totals.
I feel like I haven't seen that in a long time with a team playing at home. That maybe like a Baylor type team where, you know, they don't play anybody in the non-conference.
Yeah.
But man, that is a hell of a stack. Great find there from you. That's a tough game for me. I mean, obviously Michigan State may just kind of fold in the second half, playing a second back-to-back, really tough game. And that offense, man, that offense has just been a train wreck.
They suck, man. That's on D'Antonio, and I like him, but I mean, let's face it. I mean, you can only stay on top of your game for so long. And, you know, this isn't, you know, the 2010 Big Ten anymore. You got to adapt with as the game continues to evolve. You got to adapt, and just hasn't done so. So that's why they've fallen a little bit behind here the last 3 years.
All right, we got a top 10 battle here down in Death Valley. Florida and LSU, game 179-180. Another one of these top 10 games with a double-digit favorite. We've seen a few of these already here so far. We'll see more as the season goes along. But LSU laying 13.5 here. What do you think?
I'm going to lay it. And I wouldn't have said that with LSU and this type of game at any point probably in the last decade. But this is a completely different LSU team, especially on the offense side of the ball. I mean, they're number one still in the country in scoring offense, 55 points per game. I mean, it's the first really big road test for Kyle Trask, the Florida quarterback. I think it's tough for Florida off back-to-back, you know, off of a big game against Auburn, now to go on the road at night, Death Valley. I just think their defense is going to struggle with the pace. And I get it, Florida's defense is really good, but who have they played, especially at the quarterback spot? Jaren Williams in Miami in the opener, he was making his first start. He had a couple of FCS teams in there in Towson and I think UT Martin. Big whoop, Tennessee, are you kidding me? Kentucky, that was playing a backup quarterback. And even last week, I get it, Bo Nix had looked good, but he's still a true freshman on the road there. I think Joe Burrow by far is the best quarterback they've seen. I think the Tigers blow out the Gators.
I like it. I think so, too. I like your thought process there in that one. And, of course, for LSU last week, you know, they played it kind of an upstart, spunky team in Utah State, but they weren't worried about that. They had a bye the week before. I'm sure they've been planning for this Florida game quite some time here, whereas Florida certainly didn't have that luxury playing Auburn last week. I was on Auburn last week. I should have thought the Bo Nix thing through a little bit more. That was just an ugly game all around. I think there were, what, 6 turnovers in that game? Something like
eight,
that. Just
4 for both teams.
Yeah, it was an ugly game all around. I will say this. Selfishly, I'm hoping Florida plays really well here in this game, and then I will fade the hell out of them next week at South Carolina, because that becomes a really brutal spot with the bye on deck and then Georgia after that in the cocktail party game. I hope Florida looks good here so I can go against them next week. But I agree
good
with
luck.
You. I think there's a better chance.
Luck.
I think there's a better chance that LSU just makes a statement here in this game. And, you know, hey, if you want to lay the 13.5, I certainly don't blame you for that. Here's a game that's kind of given me fits. This number is quite a bit off from my power ratings here. I had it closer to where it opened. 189-190, North Texas and Southern Miss. Southern Miss down from a 6-point favorite to a 3-point favorite here.
I got 6.5. I'm with you. I mean, the market's just infatuated with North Texas this year. I don't know why. I mean, I think they've been relatively disappointing other than a solid performance on the road at Cal. I just think that the home teams to play, I get it, both teams coming off a bye. North Texas couldn't beat Houston with a backup quarterback with what that line moving more than a touchdown. Power ranks for me are on the home team. I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what's going on with this line here. And I understand that Southern Miss has been, you know, maybe a little bit disappointing for a lot of people here so far this year, but they've played some pretty tough opponents too. I know they had that game against Mississippi State where realistically they should have covered. They just had some turnover problems and, you know, just some other things that didn't go their way. They've played 2 top 30 teams in Sagar and lost them both. North Texas hasn't played anybody. So I don't know. It's one of those games that something seems
That's
off.
Yeah.
Is it an injury?
I mean, I think it's one of them sneaky games that I'm going to talk myself into betting, consider if the, especially line continues to drop at the end of the week. And I mean, you got to respect the marketplace, but I mean, marketplace on game day yesterday, how right was that with all that ULL money? You would think that the market would be more right than wrong this year. I don't know. A lot of those big line movers haven't worked out so well, and I've been on a lot of those line movers.
All right, so we go here to game 199-200, USC, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, 10.5-point favorite here in this one. What do you think?
I think I'm on an island here. A lot of people like SC. I don't know. I can't trust Clay Helton. I mean, he's 3-12 against the spread in the underdog role. 15 times in his career as a dog, only 3 covers. That's not good. I mean, I think the temperatures are going to be in the low 40s. I think they're not used to that at Southern Cal. I mean, okay, great. Keaton Slovis is going to play for them, but he, Notre Dame's pretty good defense, especially getting after the quarterback. I like USC's. I love actually USC's wide receivers, and I think they'll have some success. But I'm on the Irish here. I think I go back to the last time Notre Dame hosted USC, and Sam Darnold's at quarterback, and that was a USC team that ended up winning the Pac-12. And this year's Notre Dame team is better than that one in 2017, and that final was 49-14. USC has to have a lot of success early. If things don't go their way early in the game, I think it could get ugly.
So here's one question, just to sort of quantify the impact of look-ahead spots and maybe how they would factor into your handicap. Notre Dame has Michigan on deck, but it is after a bye. So Notre Dame is off next week. If they played Michigan next week and the line was where it currently is, does that keep you off the game?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, but I just think that, to me, this feels like an all-out effort. I mean, they're off only off BG and a bye on deck. I mean, they got this game circled. I'll have some really strong thoughts on the Michigan game when we get to it in a couple weeks, but that's a tough question. I mean, it's still their rival here. I think they're going to get up no matter who they got on deck. I mean, SC is that one game. Michigan, to a lesser extent, would be the other. That everybody gets up for Notre Dame, but I Notre Dame routinely gets up for SC, and again, to a lesser extent, Michigan. Those are Notre Dame's two rivals.
Yeah, I was just curious because, you know, a lot of people like to look at situational spots, and I consider them part of the handicap, but you never want to make a play exclusively based on, you know, a situational spot. So I was just kind of curious, and obviously it's a hypothetical. It doesn't matter because Notre Dame's off next week, but just kind of curious the thought process there a little bit. How about this one? Game 201-202. Clemson is a 27-point favorite against Florida State.
I just tweeted this out this morning. It's the largest underdog role in school history for Florida State. I think deservedly so. I get it. Florida State's improved this year. But, I mean, if you want to bet Florida State, I think go ahead and take them in the first quarter, first half. I mean, first quarter, Florida State's plus 50. Plus 50 points so far this season, outscoring their opponents by 10 points per game in the first quarter alone. And then it starts trickling off, only plus 8 in the second quarter. And Florida State's actually been outscored by 41 points combined in the second half. A lot of anti-Clemson sentiment out there in the last 2 weeks. I think people forget. Are you kidding me? I mean, if you look at Clemson the last 3-4 years, they have lost outright as a 3-touchdown favorite against a Pittsburgh, against a Syracuse. They nearly lost outright as a 3-touchdown favorite against NC State. Syracuse last year, they almost lost. Troy almost beat them 1 year. And yet every time Clemson at the end of the season is in the playoffs. So yeah, I get it. Downgrade them from that North Carolina performance. But I'm telling you, they have one or two of those performances every year. And yet they're still one of the best teams in the country. I'm going to lean Clemson here. My number is like 28.5.
I like Florida State a little bit. It kind of concerns me to hear,
there you go,
you know, how much you're supporting Clemson here. I think the hard part about a game like this, I mean, Clemson reloads. We know that. It's just a recruiting pipeline now. But you sort of wonder if the athletes that Florida State has can exploit some of those losses. On the other hand, you still have Willie Taggart. And everything that you mentioned about Florida State being good at the start and really not adjusting throughout the rest of the game, few people do it better than Dabo Swinney. Few people do it better than Brent Venables. So I think you're on the right track there. If you do like Florida State, maybe a first half play as opposed to a full game play. One more college game to touch on here. And this is one where it's been a little bit of a head scratcher for me and some of the other guests I have on the show. So I want to get your take on it. Game 205-206 here, Wyoming and San Diego State. San Diego State down from a 4.5-point favorite to a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm on the Aztecs here. Okay. I get it. Wyoming's off a bye. And what your other guests like Wyoming?
No, they like San Diego State too.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't get it. Wyoming's getting outgained on the season despite their 4-1. I think both teams match up pretty well with one another. I just don't think Wyoming's offense is going to have much success. I mean, San Diego State's legit defense this year, the number 8 in scoring, number 8 in total. They benefited from plus 4 turnovers last week, but Agnew, their quarterback's been efficient. Basically, when you factor in the home field, San Diego State's only slightly better than Wyoming. I'm not buying it. I like the Aztecs. I got six and a half.
I was going to say, I got it 7. And Kyle Hunter earlier in the week, he says to me, I got it 6.5. I don't know what's going on here. Neither do I. So I don't know. I mean, do you think this one, is this a head fake? Is this like coming back over the top late in the week? Does somebody like Wyoming? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that. So maybe it is. But yeah, again, I'm on San Diego State. I don't get the Wyoming love in this instance.
No, I don't either. So let's spend a couple of minutes here on the NFL. I know you've been doing very well here in the NFL this season. Maybe we need to dedicate some more time to the NFL here on these segments. But again, with so many college games, I just try to hit as many of them as I can. Couple in the NFL I want to pick your brain about here. 261, 262, Eagles and Vikings. We may be on our way up to 3.5 here. Minnesota now 3 with extra juice in the market. What do you think about that one?
Yeah, I'm on Minnesota. I get it. Philadelphia's dangerous. I just went into Green Bay a couple weeks ago and won. But I think this is the type of game that Zimmer, the head coach from Minnesota, just thrives in. In fact, as a non-division home favorite, and Ralph Michaels, you know, was the first of this stat, non-division home favorite under Zimmer, the Vikings are 18-2 and a couple pushes there against the spread. I think, you know, I know it was over a year ago, but I think there's still some sentiments that felt about that NFC championship game, and now Minnesota gets the Eagles at home. I like the Vikings here.
Yeah, this is one. It's a challenge for me because I look at Philadelphia and I'm like, okay, maybe they figured something out against Green Bay. Then they blow out the Jets last week as they're supposed to. Kind of want to buy into the Eagles, but some smart people are against the Eagles here this week, and that always gives me a lot of pause because.
So you're calling me smart?
Yes, you are very smart. You are one of the sharpest guys I know here in this business. You know, maybe it was just the Eagles taking advantage of a Thursday night rookie head coach and Matt LaFleur. And then the Jets are just absolutely awful. And Luke Falk was terrible in that game. No fault of his own, of course. He didn't even get first team reps in practice. But you know, I think Philadelphia maybe a little bit, maybe some pyrite, some fool's gold there about the last 2 weeks. And maybe Minnesota in a good spot here this week. One other game to touch on here, Tennessee and Denver, 271, 272, Titans and Broncos. Broncos a 2-point favorite here. I think this is one of the most intriguing handicaps of the week, though, because these two teams just feel so similar to each other.
Yeah, that's why I chuckled a little bit. It's a tough handicap. On one hand, I think Denver might actually be better than what we think. I mean, they're 1-4, but I mean, they lost two games at home, on the final play, basically against the Jags and the Bears. I mean, those are two decent teams. And then you look at their other two losses. They lost at the Raiders. Okay, that looked bad early. I mean, Oakland looks pretty good, arguably one of the biggest surprises in the NFL so far this season. They lost the Packers on the road. I mean, I'd even argue the Packers have overachieved. On the other side, Tennessee, missing 4 field goals last week. Otherwise, that's a win. I really don't trust either team, to be honest with you. I guess I would lean with Denver, but it's one of, when you say intriguing handicap, sometimes it's a difficult handicap, and a lot of times no bet for me in those instances.
I will say this. I sort of feel like given the spot, Tennessee off of a tough game against Buffalo, traveling out to the Mile High City where – you know, weather can be a factor all throughout the football season, it feels like. The fact that this line isn't 3 seems kind of suggestive to me that Tennessee is the better team and maybe should be the sharp side here. But I don't know for sure.
You know, matchup-wise, I mean, Denver's has struggled against stopping the run. I think they're like number 27 in DVOA run defense. And obviously that's Tennessee's forte. When they can establish the run, they've had success, and when they can't run and it's on Marcus Mariota, it's not a good look. So that might be the reason why this hasn't gone to 3.
Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowerssports.com. What's the story over there right now, man?
Yeah, I talk about it each week, the newsletter. And forget college for this aspect. I know I'm a college guy, and I give you a game write-up on every single college game, and I've done all right historically. But let's talk about the pros. This is remarkable. And I have every single pick up there. You can look at the records at bradpowersports.com. Every single pick that I've had the last 5 years. But how about this in the pros? All time, 5 years, you get 3 pro picks a week, 61%. 61% in 5 years in the NFL. I wish I could do that in college because I spend so much time in college, and I really don't in the NFL yet. I always seem to have year after year after year have a good feel for it. That this year, no different, but we'll see. It's a long season. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and it's only 5 years. It's not like it's a career yet, so we're still plugging away and grinding away. And if you're interested in that newsletter, go to bradpowersports.com. It's $79 for the rest of the season, college pro through the Super Bowl.
And, of course, you can follow Brad on Twitter, at Brad Powers and the number 7. Brad, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, take care, my friend.
All right, there you go. There was Brad Powers, professional handicapper over at bradpowerssports.com. And again, you can follow him on Twitter at Brad Powers and the number 7. So we'll finish up this Thursday edition of the show here with me going on for about 15 or 20 minutes or so, looking at some of the college football games that we didn't get to here this week on Bang the Book Radio. A lot of those week in and week out, as we know. And of course, you know, hey, a lot of games out there to try and consider. You heard some thoughts real quickly there on Thursday night's game, Louisiana Monroe and Texas State. I actually like the Warhawks a little bit in that road spot there, but Brad Powers mentioning he likes Texas State in that one. We did touch quickly on Syracuse and NC State earlier on in the week on Bang the Book Radio. Personally, my thoughts on that game can be found over on our Bang the Book YouTube page, where I did up a preview for Syracuse and NC State. We talked about some of Friday's games throughout the week as well, Virginia and Miami. Interesting to see that line moving up a little bit here on Miami, up to -2, -2.5, up from 1.5. Miami, not a team that I would have any interest in here, but somebody out there in the market does. Colorado State, New Mexico, we talked about that line move coming down a little bit on yesterday's show with Wes Reynolds. No idea what to think of that one. Don't love either team in that spot. Do have Colorado State more like a 6-point favorite in that game. So 3 flat, maybe I'll make a play there on the Rams, but at 3 with extra juice or the 3.5s that are out there, not really a whole lot of interest in that game for me. Finally, Colorado and Oregon. Again, for Colorado, tough spot there. Look like they may be getting some guys back a little bit, but tough to go up against that Oregon defense there. Didn't look very good coming off the bye last week against Arizona, but not really in the business of laying 21-point favorites too often in college football unless you've got some really big type of mismatch. I don't know if that game necessarily fits the bill there. So as we move ahead to Saturday here, we'll take a look again at some of the games that we didn't really get to here on the show throughout the week. Game 129-130, Nebraska and Minnesota is a pretty interesting game. Minnesota, a 7.5-point favorite here. My line is 7 on the game, so I am right in line with the market for Nebraska here. You really do wonder about where that team is, about where Scott Frost is with that team. And for Minnesota here, they've actually been playing pretty well overall this season. Tanner Morgan's been a little bit more efficient at quarterback. They haven't really gotten the running game going up until last week where they really ran the football down Illinois' throat. So, you know, Minnesota is a team that a lot of people did like coming into the season. They didn't have the same kind of helium, the same level of intrigue and interest as somebody like Nebraska did. But so far here, Minnesota's played really, really well. PJ Fleck rowing the boat in the right direction. They're off to a 5-0 start. If I had to take anything in that game, I would probably look at Minnesota. Again, got the ground game going last week, over 6 yards per carry. Yeah, Illinois is not a very good team, but I don't think Nebraska is a very good team either. Looks like Adrian Martinez will go. He's been practicing. I think maybe going with Noah Vedral and trying something different would potentially help Nebraska a little bit, but they will be going with Martinez here. And, you know, until Martinez shows me that he can make some good decisions with the football, I don't really have much reason to trust Nebraska. So if I had to, it would be Minnesota. I would wait and see if maybe a 7 pops, maybe a 6.5, something like that. But for now, 7.5, the prevailing number out there in the marketplace. Game 131-132, Georgia Tech and Duke. This one down a little bit from 18.5 to 17.5. My line on the game here is Duke -17. So no overlay, no big advantage as far as my power ratings go. I do think Georgia Tech may be a little bit of an intriguing team here in this spot this weekend, though, because you've got a Duke team that, you know, look, they're not super accustomed to creating a lot of margin. This is an early kickoff game. Duke usually gets some margin by just doing what they do, playing really well in the process. But coming off the loss to Pitt, and it was a tough loss at that, a game where, you know, Duke comes back home, and they got pretty badly outgained in this game, 337 to 288. Scored 20 points in the fourth quarter. It was a game with 10 total turnovers in it. So Duke just not really taking good care of the football. The problem, of course, here is the Georgia Tech offense. Duke's defense is pretty good overall. I mean, they had held, you know, the opposition to 13, 18, and 10 points prior to that 6-turnover game last week against Pitt. Only gave up to 340 yards in that one as well. That's the worry here. How many points does Georgia Tech need to score in order to cover the number? And quite frankly, we don't really know the answer to that question. And I think they'd have to score, you know, somewhere certainly in the teens, maybe 14 or 17 points to cover the number. I don't know if that's going to happen. So while I understand the line moving down a little bit, I understand that you know, maybe there's a little bit of a correlation with the fact that the total is only 49 points, but not a game I have a whole lot of interest in. You could lean Georgia Tech because, again, of the expectation of a very low-scoring game. But I just don't have too strong of an opinion on that one, though I certainly would expect Duke to be a lot better after that 6-turnover performance last week. Game 133-134, Georgia State and Coastal Carolina is a pretty interesting game here. Brad Powers mentioned in the previous segment that, you know, Georgia State seems to be a pretty good team. My line on this game, Coastal Carolina, -4.5. In fact, before I started making some adjustments, I had it more like Coastal -2 or so. So maybe my thought process here is pushing me towards Georgia State. Georgia State did run up 722 yards on Arkansas State last week. Coastal Carolina, I think they're getting a little bit too much respect here. You know, they beat Kansas on the road after losing to Eastern Michigan at home in their opener. Blow out Norfolk State, who's not a great FCS team. Hang 62 on UMass, which a lot of people are going to do this year. And then the game against Appalachian State, they did score 37 points. Now, they gave up 56 points in that game. So, you know, I think that Coastal's maybe getting a little bit too much love. Obviously, they're a team really looking to try and get to a bowl game here. And I think when you look at this spot here against Georgia State, I think it is tough to trust Georgia State because, yeah, they beat Tennessee. Everyone thinks Tennessee is terrible. Yeah, they played, you know, and beat Arkansas State last week. But also, they've been blown out on the road by Western Michigan and then lost to Texas State as well. So I think there's a lot of unknown to this game. I think it's a pretty high variance game. Again, my number 4.5, so maybe the smallest of leans to Georgia State, but not a game I'm probably going to get too involved in here this week. Game 135-136 is interesting. Maryland and Purdue. Maryland a 3.5-point favorite in this one. And the problem that I have with this game is I don't know what Purdue looks like. Last week was ugly. And it seems like maybe the drop between Elijah Sindelar and Jack Plummer is a little bit bigger than most of us thought. You know, and when you look at that Minnesota game that they played, you know, look, they lost 38-31, but they gave up almost 400 passing yards to Tanner Morgan, who only had one incompletion in that game. So this Purdue defense is not good. Now you have an inefficient offense with Plummer at the helm instead of Sindelar. You don't have your best player in Rondale Moore. I'm surprised to see this line coming down a little bit. I think part of it is that nobody knows what to do with Maryland right now. Maryland, you know, with a couple of impressive wins early on in the year. Since then, it really hasn't been impressive at all whatsoever. So don't want to trust Maryland on the road as a 4.5-point favorite. I get that. Don't want to trust them as a 3.5-point favorite. I get that too. My number's 5.5 here, though, because I think Purdue is really down without Sindelar. And again, I have no faith in that defense, which hits me to the core, man. I like Nick Holt. I like the defensive coordinator. I thought he did a great job at Western Kentucky. Maybe the Big Ten is just a little bit too much for him. Maybe he's just a little bit overwhelmed. And we've kind of seen that play out here in a lot of Purdue's games in conference play. And I think, too, a lot of people just think back to that Ohio State game with Purdue and romanticize about what the Boilermakers can be. The problem is the Boilermakers are not that this season. And really, for the most part, they haven't been that overall. So I would lean Maryland here. I certainly don't love it by any means, but I would lean Maryland in that spot there against Purdue. Looking at a game here in the MAC, Ball State and Eastern Michigan. This is a tough one for me. I've actually got this game lined right about where it is. Eastern Michigan -1, blown out by Central Michigan last week. Ball State, you know, a team that was passing the football very effectively. They play Northern Illinois. They can't throw the football, but they ran it down the Huskies' throat. High variance game, couple of high variance teams here. Eastern Michigan, you know, the type of team that wins at Coastal and beats Illinois, but also should have lost to Central Connecticut State and got blown out last week by Central Michigan. So a lot of inconsistency in the MAC. And I talked about this in that last segment there with Brad Powers about how I've had to adjust my power ratings a lot for the Mid-American Conference. I haven't had really any of these teams accurately power rated over the course of the season. I've been moving them up, moving them down. A lot of inconsistency, a lot of Jekyll and Hyde types of performances from these teams. And that makes these handicaps very, very hard. So no strong thoughts for me on that game there, Ball State and Eastern Michigan. But again, one that, like I said, I think is pretty high variance, to say the least. One game I do want to circle back to here, 137-138, Iowa State and West Virginia real quick. I do like West Virginia in this game here. I know Iowa State's a pretty good team, but West Virginia in their two losses, -3 in turnover margin, and in both of those games, teams with 21 points off of their turnovers. Iowa State, they only have 5 takeaways so far in the year. So the base defense has played really, really well, but they're just not a ball hawking type of defense. And maybe that has to do with the opponents that they've played. You know, a team like Iowa that takes very good care of the football. Baylor, Charlie Brewer hasn't turned the ball over yet this year. At least hasn't thrown an interception yet. Maybe Austin Kendall fixes that problem for Iowa State, but that is a chance I'm willing to take here, looking at the Mountaineers in Morgantown getting the 10.5. New Mexico State and Central Michigan has a different look to it now because Central Michigan quarterback David Moore suspended for a banned substance, facing a year suspension. I believe the appeal process is going on, but Quinton Dormady goes back to starting here for Central Michigan. That's why we saw that line move come down a little bit. Washington and Arizona, game 151-152. Washington a 6-point favorite here in this one. I've got Washington a 9-point favorite in this particular spot, but man, I don't know how you trust Washington at this point in time. And look, Khalil Tate's been very, very effective throwing the football this year. We kind of talked about that coming into the season in the sense that he spent so much of last year banged up with the ankle injury, he was forced to throw the football and just naturally had to progress as a passing quarterback. Well, he's shown that here this year. He's put up some very, very good numbers throwing the football. Did have that one game that he missed against UCLA. And Arizona won that game anyway. And maybe that was a rallying point. Maybe that was a coming together point for this Arizona team. So maybe they are a liver dog in this spot than my lines would suggest. Again, very tough to back Washington. Chris Peterson, some questionable play calls last week. Jacob Eason, maybe just not the guy there for the Huskies. So even though my power ratings tell me I should play Washington, I'm very scared, very tentative to do that here in this one. 5.5, probably the best this line's going to get. So if you like Washington, try to grab that 5.5 or a reduced juice 6. Man, that's a tough game and a tough spot to really put a whole lot of trust in the Washington Huskies. Ole Miss and Missouri here, 153-154. Kelly Bryant seems to be okay after that injury last week. I like Missouri in this spot. If Kelly Bryant is good to go, if he looks okay in the pregame warmups, line up from 11 to 12. I have this one 17.5. So one of my bigger overlays here of the week. Ole Miss is, they're not a particularly impressive team this season. I know John Reese Plumlee had the big game running the football last week, but you know, this Ole Miss offense, it's a weird type of setup. You know, sometimes they run, sometimes they throw, sometimes they run out of broken plays. They're just not a particularly trustworthy team here in a lot of different facets this season. It's very hard to find a lot of things to like about this Ole Miss team. And of course, as you go through and look, you know, you're trying to find where they are in terms of the strengths on offense. And it's one of those things where you would expect them to be better than 63rd at 5.9 yards per play, but it's just such a weird dynamic. You know, Matt Corral plays pretty well, then gets hurt. Now they go to this Plumlee kid, and I don't know what Ole Miss is. You know, I don't know what they are week in and week out. What I do know about Ole Miss is that their defense just isn't what it used to be with that Landshark defense, and they are better than last year, 5.55 yards per play allowed. But Missouri is third in the country, 3.64 yards per play. I think Missouri can hang a number here if they want to. I do like them here minus the 12. Again, my number, -17.5. We'll see how Kelly Bryant is. Missouri has had some injuries on the defensive side as well. But I think this line is still a little bit cheap out there in the marketplace. BYU in South Florida, game 169-170. BYU off of a bye, a much-needed bye at that. Oh, they go into the bye without Zach Wilson, which is a good thing. They did have 2 weeks to figure out who was going to be their quarterback, who was going to replace Zach Wilson while he misses the next few weeks. They're on the road in Tampa. And South Florida with a nice win over UConn last week, but South Florida to me is an awful team. I don't like Charlie Strong. He's even overwhelmed as the head coach with that job. He needs to go back to being a coordinator somewhere in the group of five, try and get some more confidence going. No Blake Barnett for South Florida this week. He's out. So both starting quarterbacks out for this game. We saw a reactionary line move of BYU from 4.5 up to 6.5 with the Barnett announcement. Now it's come back down to 5, 5.5. Barnett hasn't been that great for South Florida anyway. I will say this. Even adjusting for Zach Wilson, and maybe 3.5 points wasn't enough of an adjustment for BYU. I've got this number at 10. So I do like BYU here this week. I think that Kalani Sitake has done a good job of recruiting. I think Ty Detmer was probably a decent recruiter. His scheme just didn't mesh there with BYU. I know BYU's had some offensive injuries, especially the Wilson one here. I just don't think South Florida is a good team at all. And I think BYU, coming off the bye, after playing such a difficult schedule early on in the season, you open with the Holy War game, you go to Tennessee, you host USC, you go to Washington, then you go to Toledo. So you play four Power Five teams, three from the Big Ten in your first four games. Then you go on the road at Toledo, which winds up being a tough spot. The bye week could not have come at a better time for BYU. Now, I get it. They've got Boise State on deck. That is a rivalry game for them. But I do like BYU here this weekend by a decent amount against South Florida out in Tampa. Cincinnati and Houston game 171-172. Cincinnati a 7.5-point favorite here in this game. Total for this one sitting in the 51.5 range. And that's pretty telling here as well. The fact that you've got a pretty low total here for a Cincinnati team that, you know, has played well offensively at times. But Houston with Clayton Tune not having De'Aaron King, I agree with the line move here in this one. I've actually got Cincinnati here as an 8.5-point favorite. Should have grabbed the 5 earlier in the week. Was a little bit worried about Cincinnati coming off of that UCF game where they were outplayed for a large majority of that game. They won the turnover battle, won the game. They didn't look particularly great for long stretches in that matchup. But here this week, I think you've got to look at them against Houston. Obviously, it's 7.5, though. Not a whole lot of line value to be had in that game. San Jose State and Nevada is an interesting game. Nevada going with Malik Henry, who we all know, former Florida State recruit, last chance U star, up against an upstart San Jose State team. It's playing much better than any of us thought they would coming into the season. Here's the thing, though. San Jose State on the year, plus 11 in turnover margin. Now, Jordan Love has played very, very well at quarterback for them. But, you know, it's one of those things for San Jose State where you've got to expect some sort of turnover regression here at some point. Does it happen in this game against Nevada? Or Josh Love, excuse me, not Jordan Love. Does it happen in this game against Nevada? It could. Nevada, though, going with Malik Henry, big arm, you know, but he wasn't able to win the starting job. He lost to a freshman in Carson Strong. So where is Nevada at? I don't know. But with this short line here, 2, 2.5, I'm not going to play this game. I'm not going to have any thoughts, but I will say this. As well as Josh Love has played, only throwing the one pick, San Jose State is a pretty big regression candidate from a turnover margin standpoint. That leads the country, plus 11. Notre Dame is plus 10. They're second. After that, four teams tied at plus 8, including San Diego State and Wyoming, who do play each other this weekend, as we talked about in the previous segment. So that's what worries me for San Jose State going forward, some turnover margin regression on also the Josh Love thing. You know, very good quarterback, putting up some big numbers. Can he keep up here with Nevada? Can Nevada get the offense going? A lot of questions in that game. A couple more games here real quickly. 185-186, Middle Tennessee State and Florida Atlantic. We saw Middle Tennessee State take very heavy money last week against Marshall, and they were very clearly the right side in that game. Here they're taking a little bit of money as well against Florida Atlantic, an FAU team that it feels like they've gotten on track. It feels like they've gotten everything together and in working order here, but still my number on this game is 10.5, so mostly right in line with the market. But Middle Tennessee is a little bit of a sharp side here once again this week. So something for you to keep in mind in some of their subsequent games here as we go forward. Finally, one more game to take a look at here. Fresno State and Air Force. Air Force, a 3-point favorite, was 3.5. Fresno State's been kind of an afterthought here really all season long. They lost a lot from last year's team, lost a couple of games in the early going this season to USC and Minnesota. Then a bye week against right before playing Sacramento State. Struggled in that game. Didn't really look the part too well against New Mexico State 2 weeks ago. And then another bye. So for a young Fresno State team here, replacing a lot with a good head coach in Jeff Tedford, extra time to prep for the option here. I kind of like Fresno State a little bit this week. My line on the game is Air Force -4. So going against my power ratings a little bit, to a degree, but the bye week before the option is important. Air Force with some injuries at the quarterback position. Donald Hammond is banged up. And Air Force coming off of that loss to Navy and a long trip out to Annapolis at that. So I like Fresno State a little bit here. I agree with the line move down to 3, even though it goes against my power ratings. Situationally speaking, it does seem to favor Fresno State a little bit here in this game. So there are some thoughts on some of the college football games we didn't get to here this week on Bang the Book Radio. Coming up on our Friday edition of the show, Westgate Super Contest Selection segment with my picks and thoughts for Week 6. And then also Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the odds report as we take a look at some sharp money out there in both the college football and the NFL marketplace. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. And I will talk to you again tomorrow.